The 2 Feet In podcast is brought to you by these sponsors. McGee Financial, helping folks make smart decisions about their money since 1993. McGee Financial, where our motto is, you can't predict, you can prepare. Want to be 2 feet in with your finances? McGee Financial can help you create a winning game plan. Call 843-229-2729.
Welcome to Season 2 of 2 Feet In the Podcast. This season, we are highlighting inspiring women focused on empowering other women. 2 Feet In the Podcast will explore ideas for you to produce action. This is your place to break down ideas, get a strong dose of motivation, and learn to live 2 Feet In. I'm Heather Macy, and I'm excited to be your coach. Joining 2 Feet In the Podcast today is Anne Hurd, an inspiring woman focused on empowering women. Anne is the vice president at Greensboro College, a Greensboro College alum, and a woman that is in here to empower other women. Anne, so happy to have you on the podcast today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for asking.
So I love the format. If you had a chance to be a guest, whom would you be?
Who would I be as a guest?
Yes.
Michelle Obama.
I love that. I was nervous to interview you. And now I'm even more nervous thinking I'm interviewing Michelle. Did you see the Netflix Becoming?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Powerful, right?
It is very powerful. In fact, it's one of my all-time decade books. You know, what book would I recommend? And that certainly is top of my list.
Okay.
It was very inspirational.
And tell us this. What's new in your world? Tell us what is happening at Greensboro College. Tell us what's happening with you personally.
The world is opening up. You know, after 15 months of restrictions with COVID, our school community, our college community did such a good job. I was so proud of all of our faculty and staff and the students. Everybody pulled their own weight. Mm-hmm. And many sleepless nights we all experienced, wondering, you know, if anybody was going to get sick or worrying that the students were not going to have a meaningful experience because things were so different. And we've heard from many students, yes, it was different, but they knew that we were working to make it meaningful, and then they did their own part to make it meaningful as well. So they put in the work. I'm proud of them all.
You and I love Greensboro College.
Yes.
There's no question about that. Tell our listeners, what makes Greensboro College so special to not just you and I, but to a whole lot of people?
Greensboro College was one of the earliest educational institutions, higher education, to educate women. And they had to fight to do it. Mm-hmm. And the college has burned 3 times, the original building, and we keep rebuilding it. And, you know, we have changed with the times. We've always been true to our liberal arts foundation. But we educate young women for many years, and then for the last 60-some years, also young men, to go out in the world and make it a better place, as well as to empower them to be their best. Mm-hmm. And many of them come to us, they don't know really what they want to major in, they don't know what they want to do with their lives. We teach them how to be ready for whatever they want to do or be.
So coming back home for me, mm-hmm. being the coach here, I felt immense responsibility to do my best job ever, not just during the games, but every single time I have an opportunity to touch young people. You do so much at the college. I didn't even mention, I mean, you are the advancement officer, and you're overseeing admissions and financial aid, and you have all these vast responsibilities. Every day when you walk into main building, do you have that, I've got to give everything I have today? Explain about the allegiance to the place that you graduated from.
I do, and I love it so much that I never go to work a day. I come every day hoping that I can do a good job, hoping that I can make a difference for someone. My family has been involved at GC for many years, and I'm actually in my father's old office. Now, there have been people who sat in the chair in the intervening years. My dad is still with us, so is my mom, but my family's just always been very proud of Greensboro College, and there are 5 of us in the family who had some connection to GC, if not an administrator, but a graduate, including my daughter. And so Greensboro College will be 200 years old in 2038. And I just happen to have a little four-year-old granddaughter who could be a graduate of the class of 2038. That would be her year.
That would be so amazing.
Yeah.
I have a nephew that is going to join us this fall. And I know, and my parents said if we would have never thought in a million years that there would be some tradition that happened around that. But I think that he's heard me speak so fondly. And he said, yeah, she's driven me through the campus. Every time we come to Greensboro for the ACC tournament and concerts, and he loves the wrestling that happens here. And I always drive him through campus, and he goes, I love it too. So how cool is it when you have someone in your family to kind of follow in your footsteps? Did your mom and dad, did they talk to you about, like, the importance? Did they encourage you to come here, one? And two, what about being a legacy and the responsibility of that?
They encouraged me to go wherever I wanted to go. Now, of course, I grew up on the campus. My dad went to work here in 1962, so, you know, it was a part of my life always. So it was pretty natural that I would come to GC, but, and I don't tell many people this, now everyone's going to know, I was determined I was going to go here for 2 years and then transfer to Carolina because I thought I wanted that big college, you know, big university experience. And at the end, and I was accepted, at the end of my sophomore year, Dr. Ben Wilson, I had decided to major in English and I wanted to be a writer and a reporter, and he came to me and said, we want you to be the editor of the Collegian, which is, you know, our college newspaper, our student newspaper. And he said, that's a very big opportunity for a junior. And he said, I can almost guarantee you will not be the editor of the Daily Tar Heel in the next 2 years. And so I thought about it. It was a very easy decision at that point. But that is, again, what Greensboro College does. Mm-hmm. I had a professor who saw in me an ability to write and to tell stories and to make connections. And so she encouraged me. In fact, I'm still in touch with her. And then Dr. Wilson gave me that opportunity. And it made all the difference. And then it made all the difference in what I did for the rest of my career.
That is the coolest story. I'm so glad that you told that. Okay, it is time to jump 2 feet in on the hot seat experience.
Okay.
All right, Ann, here's what happens. You're in your favorite hotel. You jump onto the elevator, and as you get in and you hit the button to the 34th floor and the elevator doors are about to close, the person walks in the elevator. And then less than ride up to the 34th floor, give that person your life story, your impact, your influence, and maybe even a little bit of encouragement to take them through the rest of their day.
Okay. In describing myself, I would say that I'm first a connector and a communicator, a writer and a storyteller. And that's how I see myself. I accidentally turned that into the connections into a passion for education. My passion was in education, but I turned it into a career in professional advancement, educational advancement, for 22 years now. And so I make the connections. I try to find the connections between what people are interested in, donors who can help us. Mm-hmm. And when I say us, I mean students, you know, mainly the whole student experience. I do a lot of listening to find out what their passion is, and then I connect them with the priorities of the college. And I have been at several other schools, but this is my linchpin that I sort of cut my teeth in the other positions, and then I hope this is the capstone of my career at Greensboro College. I have just finished my fifth capital campaign. I don't know how to turn off, lying awake at night wondering, you know, is there someone else I need to talk to? Is there somebody I've missed? Is there an opportunity that, you know, that I haven't taken? But I love it. I love each and every day. I have tried to bring other young women into the advancement world. There are many other women development officers in nonprofit, and there are many now in the higher levels of education advancement. But when I got started 22 years ago, really it was the upper management was largely men. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're talking about asking people for seven-figure gifts and that kind of thing, you have to, you know, play with, I want to say the big boys, but you have to get up your nerve and you know, go to see who you need to see, and you go in with confidence and you ask, would you consider supporting, you know, whatever their passion is at Greensboro College?
Brag on yourself. You've got some sort of an advanced, I don't want to get it wrong. Did you not go and get some sort of unique, maybe it's not unique, I don't want to misspeak, but some sort of certification or a...
I went, after I graduated from Greensboro College with a BA in English, I worked for several years as a reporter, and then went and got a master's degree in communication. So I have degrees in both the written side and the speaking side, and applied communication. And then when I decided that advancement was the career for me, I went back and got I'm a certified fundraising executive, which is a CFRE. So it's some letters at the end of my credentials.
That's so impressive. Okay, so you're in the room. Mm-hmm. We're going for the ask of that seven-figure donation, or you're in the middle of the capital campaign, and really you've got to take that relationship building all the way to the stage of when you have to ask for the check. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have said many times, and I'll say it to you, I'm known to be aggressive. Hey, Heather Macy, she's pretty aggressive. I have the worst time negotiating. Like if you said, Heather, how much would it cost to whatever, whatever, and I would say, just whatever you want to give me. I'm terrible at that. Do you find that as like it's definitely not confidence. I feel like I'm pretty confident, but is it a trait that females just aren't as assertive relative to negotiation or finalizing that? What have you experienced?
In my experience, I am a planner to a fault. So I know going in what someone's capable of doing, what they're interested in doing. Typically, you don't ask on the very first meeting if somebody would, you know, give you $1 million or something like that. But yes, even for the smallest gift, and I tell this to our sweet phone-a-thon callers who are in, you know, they're in college and they're calling alumni and asking them to give $50. And they say, oh gosh, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. And I still get sweaty palms before I pick up the phone to call somebody, you know, to ask them, would you consider a gift of $50, because it's just, you just push through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone has a different relationship in value with money, is what I have learned.
Yes.
And so I aspire to be better at that, and maybe I can learn that from you during my time at GC. Let's move into the faith over fear. What has been, maybe it's a personal moment, maybe it's a professional moment for you.
The faith over fear is going in for the ask.
Yeah.
You know, I take a deep breath. This I learned as a communication major, that if you actually take a breath, it physiologically actually oxygen in the system, you calm down a little bit, your palms don't sweat quite as much. You take a breath, and that then you just at the right time. You have to know what you're asking for at the right time. You say, we'd like for you to consider. Those are the words that a very wise older development officer told me. Those are easy words. We'd like for you to consider. Mm-hmm. It gives people an opportunity to say yes, but then to graciously say no. But then I always say, is it no for now? You know, is the timing not right? Is it no for now? Should we talk again later? Mm-hmm. And then you may want to edit this part out, but if it's hell no, then I'm not going to bother them again.
I love it. We're definitely not editing that out. Right. That's perfect. That's perfect. Okay, it's time to storytell.
Okay.
We know that you're great at storytelling. Old self, new self. Younger version Ann Hurd, current day Ann Hurd.
Younger version. Life is lived in the gray areas. I used to think things were either very black or white. Mm-hmm. There's a wrong way or a right way, and I like to plan everything out. And my older self knows that you can't plan everything, you cannot predict everything, and that even if it's not quite right, and I'm not necessarily talking about fundraising, I'm talking about life. If you don't take a chance, if you don't take the opportunity as it presents itself. You, even if you fail, you will have learned something from the failure. Mm-hmm. But if you never tried it to begin with, you would never have succeeded. Wow. So, and I know that's cliche, but that's
true.
That's, you know, A lot of us, I think, maybe women in particular, are fearful of failure because there are people behind you watching what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe hoping that you don't
maybe,
do as well.
Maybe so. And, you know, I have sometimes taken a position that I was not sure I was quite ready for, but I took it anyway. And then I did all the research I could to find out how to do it better.
Okay, let our listeners know something that you had to learn the hard way. Maybe it was through failure.
What I learned the hard way is that people do not mind you contacting them. Even very wealthy people, very famous people, if you've done your homework and you are confident, they'll probably talk to you. They won't if you don't try to talk to them. Mm-hmm. But people are more willing to meet with you and to talk to you or let you listen to them. But I learned, do your research. Know who you're talking to when you go in. Don't expect them to tell you everything about them. You need to know what their interests are and what they have done mm-hmm. in the past so that you can have good conversations with them. You don't ever want to waste anyone's time. So that's what I've learned the hard way. Don't waste somebody's time.
Okay, I love that. All right, let's go. 2 feet in, quick style questions. We're going to go rapid fire.
Okay.
Lock in and let's go. Give us your best quote.
Plans are neat. Life is messy.
Holy cow. I need that one, a sign as you walk into Haynes Gym.
Wait, do you want my advancement
yes.
best quote?
Yes.
If you ask people for money, they'll give you advice. If you ask people for advice, they will likely give you money.
That's wonderful. Book recommendation of the decade, you may have mentioned.
Michelle Obama's Becoming. I have given that for graduation gifts.
Podcast or video to expand our listeners' thinking.
Brené Brown's, her TED Talk on vulnerability.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I've read the book too. And I love all of her TED Talks.
We can never go wrong with Brené Brown.
She's good.
Okay, a key to habit stacking or creating a routine that works basically for super busy people.
I make up my bed the moment I get out of it, and I exercise first thing in the morning, which means I have to get up an hour earlier, and I have to go to bed an hour earlier. But I've been exercising at from 5 to 6 o'clock in the morning for 20 years.
Wow. You get one phone call. To whom and why?
My grandmother, my paternal grandmother. Lived within eyeshot of Greensboro College, couldn't afford to go to college, did not get to go to college, she was a career woman, she worked downtown Greensboro, and I would go and visit her, and she was just so awesome. She told me, you can do anything you want to do, you can be in business, and she was. I have grandchildren now of my own. I have 4 grandchildren. My grandmother made every one of her grandchildren feel like the most special person in the world and that we could do anything in the world we wanted to do. Now, all these years later, we found out that each of us thought we were her favorite. she sort of intimated that. But I would call my Nana and say, how am I doing? You know, did I do a good job? Did I succeed in your eyes? And am I making my grandchildren, that next generation, 2 generations down, feel the way, empowered the way she did us.
Mm.
Yeah.
And give our listeners your final thoughts or takeaways.
You have to reach back and bring others along. And I was watching an interview with Kamala Harris the other day, and she said, her mother said, you may be the first these things, make sure you're not the last.
Mm.
So, you know, we need to help young women to find the confidence to follow in our footsteps, help them when we can, give them the opportunities when we can. And young men, too. I don't want to short young men. I have 2 grandsons and 2 granddaughters, but just young people in general. Mm-hmm. We may not understand that one kind word or one encouraging word from someone could make a huge difference, just like Dr. Wilson did for me.
Mm-hmm.
He saw something in me that I didn't. And that's what each of us can do every day, especially in higher ed, especially at Greensboro College.
Thanks to our guest and friend, Ann Hurd, for being a part of the 2 Feet In experience. Visit the show notes to learn more about Ann and to reach her directly. That's been Ann Hurd on Season 2 of 2 Feet in the Podcast, where inspiring women are focused on empowering other women. A big thanks to all of our guests and sponsors for breaking down ideas, giving us a strong dose of motivation, and helping us learn to live 2 feet in. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
The 2 Feet In podcast is brought to you by these sponsors.
Have questions about recruiting for your high school or college athlete? Kathy Reeves of PD Sports Recruiting has your answers. Give Kathy a call at 404-662-7816 now.